Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Courtney Dominguez.
Before I introduce my guest, Fred Rosario, I have a huge favor to ask of you. Please go to iTunes and leave us a review for the podcast. Just search for Ivy Podcast or click on the link in the show notes. It really helps to grow our show and get this in front of other listeners just like you. Thank you. Fred Rosario, welcome to the Ivy Podcast. Thanks for taking this time to talk with me today.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm super excited to be here.
Super excited to have this conversation. So please tell our listeners a little about yourself and your career and what you're currently doing.
Sure. So really excited to be here. Like I said, my name is Fred Rosario, like I said. My role is site director for a nonprofit workforce training program. It's called Year Up. I think it's a fancy title for just kind of to be the person that works with an amazing team of individuals that help to train, develop, and recruit talented individuals, 18 to 26 year olds, for an opportunity to get a jumpstart in their careers in either information technology or business operations. I got into working with nonprofits. Been a nonprofit veteran, I guess you could say, for 20 years. My entire career has been in nonprofit. And so it started in South Florida, was there professionally for about 15 years. And in the last 2 years, just recently came back home to Tampa Bay. I grew up in Bradenton, Florida. So coming in, going to schools, kind of trying to figure myself out and had opportunities to be mentored by individuals. And so when I was in college, after enlisting in the military, I had one of my first nonprofit experiences with a summer camp and fell in love with it and just decided this was going to be my passion. And so been able to work with youth of all age brackets. And approximately 9 years ago, I was able to find Year Up. As I said, it's an amazing organization. It's been around for 20 years and we are dedicated to closing the opportunity divide. That is basically closing what we would say the opportunity for talents to gain access to a livable wage in this country.
Well, I'm glad you explained that because I think that's really important as I know that's something that Year Up really strives to do. And as you know, this is one of my favorite organizations, and I really love just the way that this program really helps to develop kids that maybe would have access to opportunities that maybe they wouldn't have access to otherwise. And I just think that the kids that come out of this program, I say kids, I probably shouldn't say that, but the students graduating from this program really come out with such a professional and just a hunger and an attitude, and they're really driven. So I'm glad we get to have this conversation today because this is one of my favorite programs, and I just love the work that you guys do.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm super excited to be able to talk about it. You know, we oftentimes hear we're one of the best kept secrets in like certain markets. And we are like, you know, we've been around for over 20 years. And it's just a great place to be able to say where you get to see young talent be able to realize their potential, be able to take on and own their experience. Our individuals that come through the program are, like you said, committed, driven, focused. They are searching for an opportunity. We say we don't give out handouts. They earn everything. So they earn their seat in the program. They earn those college credits. They earn their internships and the opportunities that come from those internships.
So let's talk a little bit about, you made a switch a few years ago, going from the South Florida market. So that's how we met. You know, you were down here in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale market, and then you moved to Tampa. You had a great opportunity to really start the program up there, which is just great. And I'm sure also had a lot of challenges as well. So what encouraged you to make that change and really, you know, take on that new opportunity to move and develop a new market? And I'm sure there were benefits and challenges that came with that. So, you know, first, why did you leave us down here in South Florida? Why did you leave a good thing?
That's a great question. I mean, I think it was both professionally and personal for me at that time. I think having lived in South Florida for 15 years and just really developing myself as a professional, being able to build my network, it wasn't just a professional network. It was many people that became, you know, friends and family. And so it was a tough decision, but I was in the same role in South Florida at the time. And we were posed with the idea of being able to lift while you climb is something that we talk about in our program all the time. And when Tampa Bay became a market for the organization, I was intrinsic, like I was connected to that from the minute I heard about it. To be able to come back home, so to speak, and give back to the community that helped to raise me, that definitely intrigued me. So I was personally motivated by it. I have siblings that live here. So I thought, you know, it's great. My family has access. My son would have access to his extended family. And from a professional standpoint, what was interesting was it gave me an opportunity to continue to lead and help to impart and impact the market with a brand new program. And I had remembered what that was like to be on the founding team in South Florida. And so using that time and that experience, and I've grown in those 6.5 years at the South Florida team into several different roles. I started with admissions when I first came on to Europe, segued that into being a program manager, which is the trainer for the students. That's the person that helps to facilitate their program and their experience throughout the entire year. And then I moved into the corporate engagement team, which is how you and I met. And that's working externally with partners and understanding needs and being able to place talent in those needs. And then the site director role came available. And so I was there in Miami doing that work, but I was personally motivated to seeing what that could look like. So when that opportunity came back around for me for Tampa Bay, I jumped on it. I remember my supervisor said, I want to know what it's going to take to get you up here. And I said, well, let's see what we can do. And it was literally 2 months, maybe from the time we spoke to the time I had officially moved. But the rest is history. I get to work with a brand new team. And to see both the students be impressed by what Europe can do, but also the staff and to be a part of their development, to see them grow as professionals, to see themselves realize their own potential in a brand new organization or a new organization for them was one of the things I didn't expect, but was probably the biggest motivators for me right now.
And I assume there's a few differences between the South Florida market and the Tampa market. So, I mean, just probably the logistics itself is challenging. I moved from Tampa to Miami, and not that we have a great mass transit system down here, but you know, it's, I know the Tampa market, and it's not exactly well-defined in the Tampa market, and probably less so than it is in Miami. And I'm sure that's challenging, having, you know, a new market and new challenges, new companies to work with, where you're really, you know, having to go out and liaison and build all those relationships. So I'm sure there's a lot of challenges in that. Exciting challenges, but challenges.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's some similarities to South Florida that I think helped to set me up or to consider what to consider. One of the first things that was that we trained specifically in the same two tracks. So the business operations or the customer service and sales support track, as well as in our information technology track. So I was familiar with the training tracks. I know the curriculum. We were working with an academic partner. So in South Florida, we were working with a very similar academic partner. So I understood the model, the logistics and the complexities of the market are what were different, right? So I think by far the transportation, our academic partner is St. Petersburg College, and we sit in St. Petersburg. And about 85% of our corporate partners are in the Hillsborough or the Tampa proper side. So the real challenge has been, how do we, in essence, recruit talent from both sides of the Bay? And then when they earn their internship 6 months into the program, be able to get across the Bay. We have been beneficial that our organization has had some strategic partnerships with companies like Lyft to help offset some of those costs. We've worked with students to create carpooling strategies and or looking at how we can use mass transit to certain places and then figure out how to get, you know, solve for it. We've built community partnerships to see how we can offset some of those challenges. But the but that bridge behind me, you know, is what I identify as one of the visual opportunity divides, right? It is the reason why we're here. And so we continued to look at how do we solve for that. Then COVID happened. And so that makes things even more complicated. We were a program, we are a program that has always prided itself in the in-person experiential learning component. We believe that students learn best through, you know, touch points and engagements and learning by practicing and feedback and all of the things that we thought that only works really well in person. And but we had to pivot very quickly to a virtual environment. And
overnight, really.
Literally,
yeah.
Literally, we had less than a week to deploy everything virtual. And so, you know, what it showed was we needed to be innovative and we needed to be flexible and we needed to think, okay, so what were the elements that we could still be that are specific to our brand and who we are and translated into the virtual environment? And for most of it, it all translated well. I think. And it solved for some of the commuting because our internships wound up being virtual. And so for the last two cycles or this entire year, we've been able to train, prepare, deploy talent to these internships where I'd say 90% of them or 95% of them have been virtual. Now we are fast approaching going back in person. And so now it's the phased approach of like what that looks like. So those conversations about what you need to do to commute to your internship and how we're going to support you. We believe in high expectations, high support. And so no matter where a student is placed, we will help mitigate and minimize any challenges that they have in order to get to an internship on time. And so we're staying committed to that. So, you know, it continues to create unique experiences for us, but we continue to learn how we can also help to influence maybe a hybrid approach. A lot of what our students are learning is how to be in the workforce in a virtual environment or a hybrid environment. And so that is creating new opportunities in not only development, but also in spaces where we can, from a career standpoint, they are better prepared.
Yeah, I you know, we've had a few conversations and I think even, I can't imagine being an intern and trying to figure out how, perhaps I've never participated in a Zoom or a Teams call before. I can't imagine being an intern where I thought I was going to have a whole support team next to me. And then all of a sudden having to figure out how to get camera ready so I can be in a, you know, a Zoom or a Teams and literally do that for 8 hours a day. Like I can't really imagine how, I mean, students I know tend to be much more flexible and the much have a, you know, much more flexible mindset than perhaps, you know, somebody that's been doing the same thing for their entire career. So perhaps they're a little bit more able to adjust. And I know, you know, I have plenty of examples of seasoned professionals that had difficulty adjusting to not being able to print their invoices or their reports at home. And fortunately, students may or may not, you know, have that challenge because they probably don't print anything anymore. But I can't imagine being an intern and having to make that adjustment, you know, overnight. That had to be really hard.
Yeah. And you know, it's kudos to them and it's also to their perseverance, right? And so what I have learned from that experience is that their previous experiences or their learned experiences have always prepared them for whatever is being thrown at their way. I think when we have talked about professional skills training, that has changed in the virtual space. So now we have focused less on professional dress code and talked about things like, what does your professional background need to look like? Thinking more of, yes, there is a real thing of Zoom fatigue, but if the only time you're able to engage with your manager, it's your video needs to be on. Like, how can we offset that? You want to make sure you're in a space that's not distracting. You want to make sure your lighting's good. You want to be able to ensure that your audio is good and that they can hear you or your Wi-Fi. We had to also make sure the digital divide is a real thing. And so if we're going to make a mandate all our students to be virtual, we had to make sure they all had laptops and connectivity. And we have an amazing academic partner that was right in the trenches with us saying, listen, those are our students as well. Let us support you in whatever we can provide as far as laptops or any other resources. And that to me has set students up better because they have now been able to rethink what does professionalism look like in a virtual space, that when and if they go back or as they're migrating back or phased back in, we are now picking back up the, now let's talk about what it's going to look like to dress professionally, right? Now you may not need to be on camera as much, but you definitely are going to want to ensure you're following the protocols of what is the environment physically there. So it's just created new conversations and new opportunities to provide feedback. We've just become more intentional about what we're holding students accountable for and not taking for granted when you see things happening in the hallway and just pulling people to the side. You need to have those conversations in a virtual space and not wait and oftentimes just utilize the intentionality component.
I think one of my favorite parts of the program is the professional training that the students all get. You know, I wish every employee that I've ever hired would have that professional training or that, you know, that real sense of how do I construct a professional email? Maybe how do I dress to be, you know, on camera all day long? And I'm sure those are things that have adjusted, as everyone's had to adapt. I know I didn't get any type of training on how to be on Zoom all day long and dress professionally. And I think the other thing too that's really changed is also communication. Because like you just mentioned, you can't walk down the hall and go just knock on somebody's door if you're not in the same office. So, right. You know, how do I pick up on some of those cues on, do they email? Do they chat on Zoom or Teams? Do they just prefer to online chat? You know, so I think that also is very important when you're talking about how have things evolved in being on Zoom all day long, but how do you communicate with each other in this new type of environment? And like you said, how does that evolve as you transition back into the workplace as
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think understanding communication styles has in our professional skills program or that section of the training, communication styles has always been at the forefront of like part of the curriculum within the first couple of weeks. And it's relegated to the verbal and written. And now we've had to augment that to include what it looks like for in the virtual space, right? Are we pinging? Are we, you know, how often are you, now people use Slack and how mm-hmm. do you leverage that, right? Tone is critical, right? We are now finding that a sense of urgency may come across as like a little bit impatient and or, you know, not considering what the other persons have going on. And so, you know, we are spending more time just practicing different ways to showcase communication styles. One of the things we can continually strive for is for students to understand managing up. So knowing their manager's style, asking those questions, asking those expectations of how do you prefer for me to communicate to you? Would you run it in an email? Would you, you know, want me to ping you? Do you just want statuses? It's critical to then set them up for success. It's funny. I had a manager performance check-in. And normally I don't sit in those, but it was just a great opportunity for me to observe. And one of the things that I heard from the manager was just needing, resetting those expectations for the intern to understand that like the way that I communicate is what I would like to see. And I thought so much of that is so helpful, because even though we're halfway through the internship phase, getting that reset is critical for not only just their success continued on, but just understanding you, there's always a need to pivot. There's always a need to reconsider that. Just because Courtney, you and I may have a really good working relationship, if there's a different mode of or modality or usage of a communication tool, and we're going to utilize it, mm-hmm. I need to make sure I'm practicing on that so that I can meet those expectations. And so that is proving to us that we have to always be on that side of telling students, like, don't get comfortable. The minute you get comfortable, you can expect life will throw a curveball at you, and then you will probably get some type of feedback, and then you want to pivot from there. So really getting them to kind of consider how they can stay abreast of things that are happening and know when to pivot and when to seek advice or support.
So if you had to say, like, what would be the most critical three pieces of advice that you would give to your students as they're not only going into their internship, but also getting ready to embark on their professional career? Because part of the goal of the internship program is to help these students land a job, hopefully within the same company, but it could be somewhere else, but helping them to get ready for their professional career. So yeah. What would be the most critical three pieces of advice that you would give to them?
One, I think the first one that we always talk about is knowing your why. So making sure you understand what your why is. And, you know, not every student needs to have to verbalize their why to everyone, but they need to know it, and they need to be able to kind of think it through and visualize their why. I think if they're not able to do that, it makes for it really hard and makes for a really challenging experience, because they're not able to connect how this experience is going to help them get to where they want to get to. So knowing their why, understanding that it's all temporary, right? Like, these are all learned opportunities, and not looking at them from a challenging standpoint. So I'm thinking mindset wise, right? Consider it from a growth mindset. Look at it as a new challenge, a new opportunity to learn, a new thing that you didn't do before. And so, because if not, then we kind of look at it from a deficit standpoint, and it's like, this is harder than I ever thought, or I can't achieve it. And yes, you can. We tell students, you didn't get here just to get here. We're not going to, you know, leave you behind. High expectations, high support. So you earned this opportunity. See it all the way through. You've got what you need. You have the skills, talents, and abilities. Everything else will learn. And then I think the third one is leverage your network. I think we tend to forget that we're not in this in an island all alone. And I get it, virtually, it will feel like that, but you're not, you know? And so I know that I have a network of individuals and professionals that I can reach out to, both internally and externally. And so role modeling that for students and bringing in different people and helping them to connect to their networks, both in their internship experience and or within year up, I think it's really important for them to know that anything that they're thinking, somebody else has probably had some of those same challenges. And at probably when in doubt, like, there's always resources available, whether it's Google, whether it's, you know, one of their colleagues, they never know. Like, it's worth just saying, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this, or I'm thinking about this. What would you do to solve for it? And what we find is that their colleagues are some of the best, you know, support systems that they have. So definitely leveraging their network, knowing their why, and understanding that, you know, this is all learned opportunities.
So I know networking is really important to you, both from a personal standpoint, professional, and then also a program standpoint too, right? You don't grow a program, you don't go out and find companies that want to participate in it. I'm sure they don't knock down your door every day, though that'd be great if they did. But part of building that and building a program and building building your brand is networking. So yep. I think that's really evolved over the past year. But yes. What type of advice would you give both your students and professionals alike, right? About one, the importance of networking, and then two, I'm hopeful that in-person networking will start to open up again. Yep. But what type of feedback and advice would you give to those that are still trying to figure that out and really to take best advantage of their network, like you said?
Yeah, no, I think you have to be curious about what else is out there, right? You can't sit, I think that we are doing all of ourselves a disservice when we're not constantly trying to learn. So networking allows us to find other individuals or other interests that we may be wanting to learn more about, and we need to be able to connect to them. So doing some basic research, a lot of times LinkedIn has been great from a networking standpoint. I've been able to get on a lot of webinars or get involved with some community-based work here locally. I've been able to do some really great initiatives that otherwise I wouldn't have seen because, in a virtual space, we're spending a lot of time, thinking about stuff. And so now people are creating opportunities to say, let's not just think about it. Let's put it into action, or let's get into groups and explore what could be possibilities. So I definitely think, looking at the leveraging social media from a benefit standpoint and being able to reach out and connect with people and then go to some of these virtual events that are happening, it's been critical. I will also say from a professional development standpoint, that was a really great way for me to not find myself having a lot of downtime. I didn't have much, but I was able to build out time to devote to what did I really want to learn. Yeah. So I did LinkedIn learning, everything from coaching to project management. I did, and I thought, well, if I can build it out and I can show my team or show the team and show students that I can, how I make my time management work for me, then that might inspire others to be able to see it. I highly recommend the networking component because I think, especially if you're in a new market, to be virtual and not really be able to connect with people, it will create a space of feeling isolated. And so don't hesitate to reach out. I think what I'm also finding is companies and organizations are doing really cool things of like, we're doing what we call Welcome Wednesdays, where we're opening up the space to allow people to come in to learn more about Europe and hear from our students directly, get some key outcomes from staff, and then ask any questions that they can. But it's also a really great networking opportunity. Find out how they can get involved. But I think those are some really great ways to still be proactive in your networking, be able to pitch ideas or pitch yourself and get to meet new people.
Yeah, and I think those are all great. And the other thing that I see a lot of, and I think to some extent we're probably all a little bit tired of it as well at this point, because we're all doing all of these webinars and everything online, so it gets a little bit tiring, but also just meetups. You know, most of the time meetups are free and you can find a meetup for virtually any topic that, you might be, it may not be directly related to your internship at all. It may be you're interested in learning Python or you'd like to learn more about AWS and the web services and maybe get certification. There have been so many opportunities for people to network and learn in this environment in free ways. Like, you don't have to go back to school to, be able to network and be able to learn, things that maybe you don't need a course about. Maybe you just need a certification, or you're just interested in exploring something new. So I've found that taking advantage of those has been not only a great way to learn, but a great way to meet like-minded people that you can reach out to and really connect with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I 100% agree. And I think it's to also help in that feeling of less isolation.
Right. Yeah. That sense of community and having somebody that you can reach out to. I mean, I've met a lot of people that way. So I'm hoping I hope the return to in-person networking returns. Absolutely. But a lot of the online stuff is, and the nice part about that is too, a lot of times that's offered at times where it's maybe during your lunch, or it's during, absolutely, a coffee break in the afternoon. So, you're able to take advantage of some of those other times where a lot of times the in-person is maybe after work, or when you can't, it's not maybe as convenient because maybe the students have class or something else going on. So
yeah. And the other thing that we've reinforced too is like that idea of like informational interviews. So specifically for our students that are on internships, it's like, you're getting to know the team, But you may want to find, oh, you want to get to know more about what, how did that person get to their space? And like, to your point, schedule a 20-minute coffee, you know, break or virtual coffee or whatever they want to call it. But I think those are really great ways to network and to be able to just build a connection with someone, as well as kind of continue to immerse yourself in the company culture. Oftentimes those are the things that no one is telling you about, but like, if you don't do it, it only enhances your experience. It can't hurt it.
Very rarely do people say no when you reach out to them. When they want to talk about them, you know, everybody loves to talk about themselves pretty much. So, you know, rarely do people say no when you say, hey, I want to learn more or talk to you about how you got to where you are. You know, it's pretty much a guarantee that they're going to say yes.
Absolutely. And it's not even like I'm looking for something. It's just, right, I want to connect with you. And you're sharing something about what you did or how you got to where you are. And that sparks an interest for me. I think that's at a pivotal point. And I agree with you. We're all looking for people to connect with and be able to learn from. And so these are just really great ways to continue to stay engaged and informed.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree. And I always encourage, especially any interns, whether it's from Europe or just interns that I've had, take advantage of whatever the company's offering. Right. If they've got a town hall, if they've got to learn this department series, if they have, you know, just an opportunity to learn more about the company, always take advantage of that because it's free. And you're there, right, and you learn more about the company that way. And maybe it's a place you end up wanting to be at and you know, start a career at. So it's important to know those things when you're going in and starting your professional career. And it's always good to take advantage of it when you're a seasoned professional as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100% agree.
So Fred, for those that are interested in learning more about closing the opportunity divide, how you started this conversation, what resources do you recommend? And obviously there's an extension or an invitation for Welcome Wednesday, right?
Yes. If anybody wants to get involved in Welcome Wednesdays, we will definitely share the link with you, Courtney, but it is, we have these Welcome Wednesdays where they're a Zoom link to kind of come in, learn more about Europe, Tampa Bay. And like I said, it's about a 45-minute conversation. You get to meet with some specific alums or interns, hear from their specific perspective. It will also share parts, the program's entirety, as well as getting some highlights on some outcomes and future opportunities that we would be having, and kind of share what's coming up next in the next year and whatnot. That's one way for people to get involved. But if there was just an interest in understanding what Year Up is, the best resource is going to our website, www.yearup.org. We're a national organization. We've served more than 30,000 students across 35 campuses since our founding in 2000. It continues to impress me the work that we do with the resources that we have, our partnerships that we have, the relationships that we build, both from our corporate partners, our academic partners, and our community partners in building a movement to ensure that talent is being able to realize their potential and gaining access to a livable wage. It has been, you know, of all my years in my career, like, this is the most rewarding role or work that I've ever done. And I'm very appreciative and honored and humbled to work with these amazing talent. And not only just the talented individuals that come in, but the teams of the people that are working side by side with them.
Corporate partners, right?
Yes, our amazing corporate partners. I mean, I think when I look at the corporate partners and I think how they are understanding, this is a talent solution for them. This is not like a philanthropic, you know, I just want to get involved. And yeah, there are some opportunities from a philanthropic standpoint, but there's opportunities to host interns. There's opportunities to get engaged or mentoring. We had we've had AWS come in, or people coming in and wanting to do mock interviews, or being able to sit down and be judges for events like our business plans. I think those things show a lot of the time and the investment pays off tremendously, because you're getting to have access to talent firsthand. You're getting to see what that evolution looks like. And then if we have those corporate partners that are hosting interns, they're able to see that return on investment. They're able to see where that talent's going and continue to see how we are not only applying feedback on the spot for the individuals that are being working, but also future students that are coming in. It helps to ensure that we're delivering content and training that is relevant to the market. We're working with our academic partners to, pivot curriculum if needed to meet that market demand. And we are ensuring that, our talent is also being recruited with what that career pathway could look like. So it's all encompassing, but it's all also really rewarding to be able to see it's all interconnected.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned about some of the other opportunities, because even if individuals aren't in a market where, or in a position where they're able to host interns, there's lots of other ways to get involved in the program and be able to help out and make sure that, you're enabling these students to be successful. And it doesn't take one person to do that. It takes a whole village and a whole community to help with that. So, there's lots of different ways to get involved, even if the company's not able to host, there's other ways to engage and from a community standpoint, be able to give back and help these students. So I can tell you there's nothing more rewarding than bringing in some of those students and seeing them thrive and do well. So I think it's just such a wonderful thing to see, and then how they engage and they're able to help other students and bring them along the way and help them be successful as well. So Fred, thank you for having this conversation with me. This has been great. And hopefully we'll be getting a lot more folks to attend your Welcome Wednesdays. And I'd like to say that if you have wine, like Welcome Wine Wednesdays.
I'm liking that. I may have to elevate that feedback and make sure we do that.
It has a ring to it. I'm just saying.
We will let you know. I definitely will be giving that back.
I'm going to take a drive up to Tampa when you do.
Listen, I would love that. We're looking forward to being able to continue our conversation. Courtney, thank you so much for doing this and being able to share this this time with you. It really means a lot.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please take a moment to rate, subscribe, and leave a review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.